Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Oh, we got a damn good show for you. We got to talk about the Mavs. Sorry, for Mavs fans, it's not going to be a damn good show. But for everybody else, it will be. Losing Game 3, so now they're down 3-0 to the Warriors. We'll get into it. We'll also preview the Celtics and the Heat game tonight. Texas baseball, the regular season officially done. Now we're talking about the postseason. Thank God for my man Hardball Hard to help us break it all down. We'll talk Texas baseball in the second segment of the 3 o'clock. The Flex with my man Snoop Snoop, or at least shouting out to my man Snoop Snoop, JJ Dunn. We got the Flex segment coming up at 3:45. I was out at the 7-on-7 tournament out at Lake Travis. I'll give you my evaluation. I'll give you my analysis, and we'll talk about that coming up too. Also, we got to talk Texas football. Arch Manning sets his official visits, and we'll get into that. 247 has listed the top 25 quarterbacks in all of college football. We'll discuss whether who the Longhorns have to face on that list and whether there's a Longhorn on that list. All of that and more, but first, before we do that, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos with a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres and chase his dream in the cheese. Pippin ain't easy, but for this man, it is a breeze. He is my man and yours as well, Mike Hardball Hart. What's going on, brother? How you doing? How was the weekend?
Back in the house, baby. Glad to be back in the house. Missed you guys over the weekend, but had a lot of fun.
Oh, you was busy, though.
Yeah, got spend some time with my man Craig Way on Thursday. Then I got to do some baseball with the legendary voice of Charlie Neal.
You was in the booth all weekend. Man, I like that's like being in the studio.
I'm in the lab. That's exactly right. Talking about a little bit of baseball. It was fun. But let me get right into it. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson said he's the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study. He's not a fan of white condiments, but he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, Rob Baby.
I appreciate the intro, brother. Every time it gets better and better. Let's introduce the real MVP, though, because without him, the whole damn thing would not happen. We probably could make it happen, but it would sound like ish. He's the real MVP. He's the idealionaire on the show, one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. He is my man, Patrick Davis. What's going on, Patrick? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, good.
How's
your
weekend?
Ready to get into it. Good weekend.
What'd
relaxing,
you do?
Calming. I just worked on stuff. You know I don't stop.
There you go. See, like I said, I don't know what the man is paid, but he's underpaid. That's what we know about Patrick Davis. All right, you can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. I'm at Harge. He's at Hardball Harge. Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. Specs text line wide open as well. 512-337-3776. So we got a lot to talk about. Let's start, gentlemen, with the NBA. And let's start with the disappointment that we all feel right now, because I think we all were trying to feel that Mavs mojo. We were hoping that and Luka has been as good as advertised. Can we all admit Luka is the real deal?
He's been doing his thing.
But what did we say? All right, Luke, right now, and I said this, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. I said, right now, I'm watching Luka right now play the role as Batman pretty damn well.
Yep.
But he doesn't have a Robin. Maybe he's got a Commissioner Gordon. Maybe he's got an Alfred. But he does not have a Robin on that team. And I'll give Jalen Brunson a lot of credit. He's doing his most. And Spencer Dinwiddie just this last game three.
Ooh.
Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench. He gave you probably as good a performance as he's had in the playoffs so far as well. But, man, they can't put it together consistently. He's the only consistent common theme for the Mavs that he will show up in clutch situations. I know he did have one bad game, but he is human, even though he looks superhuman a lot of the times.
Right, right.
Luka needs help. And the other guys, as we've talked about, they're not showing up enough. You gotta be a peacock, all right? You gotta let them fly. Those guys aren't flying enough. Luka's not getting enough help, and that's pretty much the story of this series and why they're down 3-0.
Yeah, it's not a good look for them, and we can talk about Luka and how great he's been, but like you said, Rod, it's the ancillary parts of everything that makes the engine go. You know, this isn't golf. This isn't tennis. This isn't one-on-one matchups. This is you need everybody to understand a role, compete in their role, and have some help when you need it. and they just haven't been able to. And one of the things that we've continued to talk about is you don't know what a series is about until you win one on the road. Well, they haven't been able to win on the road. They haven't been able to win at home. They haven't done anything to try to make this a series. And I want to give a lot of credit to what the Golden State Warriors have done. We talked about it in game one, how they came out running. They were sprinting down the court on long rebounds. Every time they would miss a shot, they were getting it up the court and getting into their offense. And I feel like Steph Curry is coming out playing Roy Jones. Y'all must have forgot how good he is, because he has come out there and started shooting that thing and reminding you, I am one of the most deadliest shooters in the game, and I am a former MVP.
I want to applaud that reference, though.
You like that one?
I want to applaud that reference. You're talking about obscure, random sports reference. You're talking about a all-time great boxer, talking about his rap career, and that was like his hit.
Y'all must have forgot.
Well done. One day, we got to do a theme. We just play songs from sports stars who made music.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we would have to, at one point, we got to do that because, yeah, y'all must have forgot I'll be on there.
Yep.
But I'll say, I pointed this out on, and Patrick and I were talking, hard you were out, so this had to be on Friday.
Yep.
Bringing this up, that if you start looking back over time, right, so go back 1983, I'm looking for trends, and the trend of a player like Luka with his high usage rates being able to lead a team deep into the playoffs. Remember, we talked about this, right?
Yep.
We were ranking all the players and the best players left in the playoffs.
Yep.
And, you know, I think we all agreed when I said, man, we just haven't seen a team built like the Mavs
win
a title. They would be a unicorn and an outlier. It's just a weird. We just haven't seen it. I'm not saying it can't happen because Luka is a freak, and we all agree. Luka is, you know, he is one of those guys that can take it to like an otherworldly level. But, you know, I went and looked at and you go look at the usage rates, right? So Luka usage rates in these playoffs is around 40%. It is. Yeah. You're talking about all time high. Luka's usage rates in the last 3 years, 36.8%, 36%, 37.4%, ties him for the second most seasons on record with usage rates 35% or higher. James Harden is higher. So I remember talked about him replacing James Harden as the ISO king. He's the ISO king now of the NBA. But his 40-plus percent usage rates in these playoffs, highest mark ever for a player with at least 10 games in a single postseason. Teams led by players with usage rates that high, 35% or higher, since the playoffs expanded, 31% of them missed the playoffs, 28% of them lost in the first round, 34% of them lost in the second round, 3% of them lost in the conference finals, another 3% of them lost in the finals, 0% have won a title.
Mm.
And that is since 1983-84 when they expanded to 16 teams.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
You got to have help.
Got to have help, man.
All right.
Got to have a little bit of help.
All right.
Just a little bit of help.
Well, and I mean, it's especially shown in this series when you're like, well, if you just put the Warriors' core up against the Mavs' core, Mavs destroy them.
Yep.
But if you throw in Wiggins now, who's had some really big games, you throw Looney playing better basketball than the fourth or fifth guys playing for the Mavs.
Yeah.
And you go, it's those guys in that depth of them to have a deep enough lineup that they keep getting other guys to step up. When you go, well, we stopped Klay Thompson, we stopped Steph Curry for a little bit, we stopped everybody else, and then Wiggins goes off and hits a bunch of threes on you, and you can't stop everything. You go, we can't stop all five guys. And the Mavs, if you let Luka go, and then you go, all right, Brunson's going to get 20, and then all we have to do is hope they miss these open threes, and they keep missing open threes.
That's the part right there. That is the part that I continue to look at. It's like, why are you still shooting them? Even Jason Kidd was like, I don't know why we keep shooting all these threes. Well, call a timeout and tell them. Get to the rim.
Well, that's his philosophy. So he can't really get on the guys. He can't get on the guys for that. He's the one that said he wants them to shoot, be very prolific with the three pointers. That is, and you're right. Right now, they're dying by the three pointer. Mm-hmm. The Mavs shot 37% from 3-point range in round one, 40% in round two. That's what helped them get the upset. And I think that right now they're hovering around 32%.
Yeah, last night they were 34% last night.
Yeah.
So it's like you're very consistent on missing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Texter says, it was this show talking that talk that Dallas could beat, I think they meant the Warriors, and Luka was the best player left. I still believe Luka's the best player left, but I did say I was leaning Warriors in the series. I did say that.
You
said, did we forget Steph is transcendent at this sport and the greatest shooter of all time? I have the receipts I sent y'all. Can you see them? Yeah, I had Steph as the second best player when I ranked all the players right now. I had Luka as number one. I still think that's bearing out, actually. Yeah. And I said I was leaning Warriors because the Warriors are a deeper overall team. It's going to be really tough for them. My concern was how the Warriors going to stop Luka, but you can see they've thrown out different strategies. Yeah, they tried to stop him in game one. Andrew Wiggins had a great game. Yep. Luka's a great player, so Luka's going to adjust. He's going to evolve. That's just the way it is real time. And Luka has, and Luka's going off, obviously, for 40-something points in this game, in game three. But I think they evolved their strategy where they decided to let Luka get his in game three and say, you know what, we're going to stop these other guys. We're going to make sure the other guys aren't able to beat us, especially from the perimeter, from the pound to three-point line. And it's worked. And I agree with you, Harge, that a lot of these have been, and I agree with Patrick as well, a lot of missed three-pointers that are open looks.
Yep.
That they have been wide open, that have been manufactured by the offense and by Luka. And I don't know, that's something that's hard to explain.
Yeah, I mean, that's really when we can say, if we want to say, by the way, it's not Steph winning this series. Like, Steph is great. Steph has been great, but we know Luka's better. So if we're saying one-on-one, Luka is having a better series than Steph. So it depends on the rest of the roster.
Yes.
And so and that's where it's kind of bothered me with the Warriors this postseason, is when Draymond and Klay are still trying to get it. And like, dude, you are the fourth and fifth best player in the starting lineup right now. You guys are still turning the ball over. You guys aren't shooting great. Klay Thompson hits maybe one out of every other game now. But, well, Wiggins has been having a great series.
Yes. Just a collection of them all, man.
And that's to say, Wiggins, and then Jordan Poole hasn't shown up a ton in this
series. Exactly, he hadn't even shown up yet.
But you're like, there's just a lot of talent on this team, and the Warriors have done a really good job of cultivating it. And what blows my mind is they have a top pick they're not even playing in Wiseman.
Yeah,
like how they acquired this much talent on one team is absurd.
Because they started rebuilding.
They had to.
And then almost in the midst of rebuilding, because they were like, oh, these guys, I think they're done. I think all, you know, because they kept getting hurt, whether it was Klay or whether it was Steph, and they couldn't keep all the guys healthy. So they started rebuilding, and they're a good organization, we all agree, right?
Oh,
Warriors,
absolutely.
Their front office, good organization.
They do a great
job. So they started rebuilding in the midst of it. They figured, I think they found out either this year, because remember, they missed the playoffs the last 2 years, right?
That was the biggest story, right there. Yeah, that's why they got Wiseman. That's why they started to build their bottom up.
And I think they were
positioning
themselves like, all right, we're going to have to trade one of these guys or something like this.
They've also done a good reclamation of, you get a guy like D'Angelo Russell a couple years ago that everyone's kind of doesn't really like anymore because he doesn't fit in at the point guard position. You build him back up, and then you trade him off, and you get a Wiggins, and then you build him back up, and they'll get rid of him, and they'll get someone else, and they'll build him back up, and you get draft picks, and you get more things, and you keep building. Because you keep going, hey, if you play in our system,
we can
you're automatically going to look better, and then we get rid of you.
And they get you a contract.
And get you a contract. You go get paid somewhere else, and we'll go get another guy and get another draft pick and keep building
on it. It's like the Nick Saban coaching car wash philosophy.
Exactly. And so they've done a great job of doing that, and that's where you look at it and just go, man, the depth, because you don't even think of Golden State having depth because they don't really play that deep in their roster. They really go 7-8-man rotation. But it's the depth of everyone can take over a game at any given point. The fact that Looney put up 20 in game two is where you're like, man, if Looney's beating you, you're going to have a long time. And
but remember, Looney was good, though. Looney was a good player. He just got caught in the middle because when they were rebuilding, when they were going through that, he was the only one that was very consistent for them through those years. And I think that is why the experience that he developed early – UCLA Bruin, I think that's how he got all that experience. And now nothing's too big for him. And Steph and them believe in him enough that they could find him anywhere because he was the only one during that time that was helping them win.
Yeah. No, I agree that he's not a bad player. He's also not at the level where he should be dominating in a playoff game in the Western Conference Finals. And that's right. Dwight Powell had good seasons, and Dwight Powell, we haven't seen him yet, have we? Has he shown up yet?
You notice I don't even bring him up anymore.
That's one of the huge,
I'm over him.
That's also part of one of the big weaknesses of this Mavs squad that's also being exploited and exposed here is the lack of an inside presence.
Yeah.
Right? They've been out-rebounded, being dominant. What was the
points
number
in the paint?
In the paint?
Yeah.
I believe they got points in the paint was 46-34. Golden State won that. I saw a stat that I can't believe it's real. I got to go back and check it, but I saw it at Mavs Moneyball, so I trust it. So the Mavs in these playoffs have been out-rebounded by 140.
Yep.
That is
like, what?
That's not good.
I swear I saw it at Mouse Money, but I wrote it down. I'm like, man, I can't believe this. So I'm gonna go check it myself, but that seems ridiculous. But if they get hot from 3-point range, which they've done in some of the earlier series, lights out. Doesn't matter because they got Luka and the 3-point shot. They're unstoppable.
Yeah,
they really are.
Yeah,
but. As a Rockets fan, I can tell you, when that 3-point shot ain't falling, that recipe can look so ugly.
Right.
It can go from being one of the most aesthetically pleasing, beautiful types of basketball you've ever seen in your life to just being UGLY, no alibi when guys aren't hitting shots. And that was pretty much happening. And in an ugly game, the Warriors have more ways they can win.
Yeah.
The Mavs don't have – like, the Warriors weren't great from 3-point range. Through the first three quarters, the Golden State Warriors are hitting – 29% from 3-point range in the first three quarters. They weren't killing it. They had other ways to score, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also, the other part of the Warriors are the more consistent team, because when some guy's not scoring or when something's not working, they just go to the next thing. Whereas the Mavs, when they're not scoring, they're not scoring. There is no next thing, because they try and go to the bucket and everybody just collapses in and goes, take your three again. We'll just collapse in.
Yeah.
We don't care. We're not going to allow you to lay the ball in. We'll give you wide open threes because we don't think you're going to hit them.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
I agree with you. But the Mavs, I think Maxi Kleber, Bulak, Dorian Finney-Smith combined to go 2 of 17 from 3-point range. It's just ugly.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yes, it's gross. And offensive rebounds were big too. Since they're getting dominated inside, Golden State Warriors had 14 offensive rebounds to the Mavs 7, led to 18 second chance points, which was an 18-4 advantage. So you're getting out rebounded, they're getting more second chance points, better advantage in points in the paint. It seems like it's a more than a tall task for the Mavs at this point, especially when the outside shot is not going down.
Well, I want to go back to what you were talking about, Rod, on how they went back and started rebuilding this organization.
It's amazing.
The Warriors did, because they lost Klay Thompson twice to an injury. Remember, they should have won the championship when KD got hurt, when he blew out his Achilles. They should have won that right there. And then you think about all the injuries that Steph had and Draymond. So during this time, we were sitting there looking at, and Steve Kerr, to his credit, wasn't flinching, wasn't really dealing with anything, just letting it ride, continue to sit back on that sideline and say, all right, we're going to get a top pick next year. We're going to be back. We're going to get another top pick the next year. We'll be back. And then all of a sudden, everybody had their health. That's been the biggest thing for me. The health and well-being of this organization kind of flipped real quick. Now, we can look at these scores, and you know, there's only really been, one close game throughout this. And we can also look at the fact of Steph Curry being what Steph Curry is. Yes, he's had some struggles early in the game. But when it's money time and it's time for him to make a big shot like last night, he went on a roll, and that's the difference. Because not only can he get to the bucket, because he was getting to the bucket too. That's the other thing. He's going coast to coast, but then he could pull up from half court and drain it from you and then do his little shimmy and walk away from you.
Yeah, he's just a shot maker.
We
give him credit for being the greatest, three-point shooter, but it probably should just be – he's in the greatest shooter of all time discussion, period.
Yeah.
He's a great shot maker. When he gets around the rim, and that's nothing. Golden State Warriors had 27 shots at the rim. The Mavs had 16. They were more aggressive getting to the rim too when the outside shot wasn't working. So it's to give credit to Golden State and some of the front office to piggyback on what you're talking about, Harge. You got to give them a ton of credit because it's hard for people, let alone organizations, to be able to have two thoughts at one time, right? It seems like more and more in our society, people are one-track minded, right?
That's
like, oh, this is like, man, no, you can think two things at one time. You're intelligent enough to be able to, break that down. And that's essentially what they did as a front office. They committed still to the aging old regime, right? And that was Klay Thompson being hurt, Steph Curry going through his injuries. What are we going to do about Draymond Green? Because it's just Draymond Green. What are we going to do about that? All that stuff. They still committed to that while also deciding, you know what? Let's invest in the future. Let's plant some seeds. Let's plant some seeds so that we can extend the championship window. Now, if we have to rebuild completely and this whole thing falls apart, then you know what? It just fell apart. Hey, we just won some championships. We maximized our championship window. But what if, and I'm just obviously spitballing and hypothesizing that they were thinking this because they're really smart guys at Golden State. What if those guys do get healthy and we can make one more last run?
Right.
One more last run, along with the depth that we've built up with these young players.
And let's go get a former number one overall pick in Andrew Wiggins and see how he fits in with us.
To Patrick's point about the reclamation projects, that's another. So I think there's so many different things that, you know, different ways that they are trying to gain advantage. It usually doesn't always work out. I think it all worked out for them.
It
actually worked out where the old guys are getting health at the right time, the depth of the young guys like Jordan Poole they built out, those guys starting to play well, and the investments, as Patrick said, in the reclamation projects like Andrew Wiggins also working out. It's all working out at one time right now, and it's like, oh, man, they got a chance to make a run. And we talked about this. We talked about this at the end of the regular season. We're like, man, that team looks scary. Yep. If they all stay healthy, they could win it all. They're all healthy right now.
Andrew Wiggins. All-star, by the way. Starter.
Yeah.
All-star starter this year.
Crazy. And I'll tell you this. This is something that, you know, if you're a young player right now and you're watching Steph Curry, I know everybody wants to focus on his shot. One thing you cannot is he may have the best cardio in the league. At 34 years old, he may have the best cardio in the league.
Well, let's see where he's at 37, like Chris Paul.
That's a great point.
Driving and getting layups around guys in the fourth quarter, that's cardio. That's him being like, I still am as fast as I was at the beginning of this game.
Yep.
And if you're a young kid and you're like, go learn how to do that. Work on your cardio every day and get to the point where in the fourth quarter you're the one going, because no one can stop you at that point. He still has his legs in the fourth quarter. When everybody else is starting to fail and you're trying to find the right places and everyone's digging deep, he looks like he's like, I'm in second gear, man. Let's go five overtimes.
Observation. Yep. No, that's a great observation. He's a tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
He's both of them. Yeah. He starts fast, but he's also going to finish strong because he's, you know, he already knows. Like, no, it's a marathon, not a sprint. All right, I got this. Now, I'm with you on that. That's a great point. And without the ball, he's just running. Yep. Probably still one of the hardest assignments in the NBA because you're going to work the whole damn game.
I think they said he runs over 4 miles during the game.
And that's what I'm saying is if you watch the game with him on the court and with him off of it, it's stark the difference because when you watch it with off, whoever's got the ball moves, maybe someone sets a screen for him, but most people are planted, and they don't really move a lot. And then you watch it with him, and he is making everybody move because he's going to their spot, and then he's going to the next person's spot. And so basically he starts running over, and you're like, ah, crap, Steph's coming over here. I got to go.
Yeah.
And they got to move. But it's just so different because you see it, and you're like, oh, that's way different than anybody else. That puts you in a different stratosphere as a teammate, as a player.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. My favorite thing about Steph is that, you know, when he's in every NBA player, you know, they're all freaks. When they get in their zone, I would fear his, you know, zone more than any player probably in NBA history. When he's just hot and he can't miss, it's like some not NBA jam. I mean, it is crazy.
Yeah, we saw it in the All-Star game this year.
Yeah, he just starts hitting. Because he starts
moving back further and further. Yeah, he's like, it doesn't matter.
He's pulling up. He's like four steps past half court. He's like, I got this. He checked. And he's like, what? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it just, no, I agree. I think, man, he's just, and I agree, he's gotten older. So it's not as dynamic as it used to be. He can't do it for the stretches that he used to. But when he goes category 5, force of nature on you, when he goes thermonuclear, which he does, it's over. Like, he can separate the entire team, like, from it. It's just him versus another 5, and still nobody can guard him.
And he's still, and, like, when you look at these other contracts and you look at his, and that he signed that deal to, like, be a team-friendly deal a while ago, and, man, he has helped build this franchise more than anyone could say because how little he makes for how good he is absurd. And he's still making good money, but it's like he is probably the lowest paid superstar that's not on a rookie deal.
When LeBron James was asked if he could play with any player in the NBA, and he's been on this bandwagon for probably 3 or 4 years now, he always says Steph. For the last like 3 or 4 years, he's been like, hey, LeBron, you can play with anybody? He's like, Steph. Yep. He said it most, and Steph has actually rebuked him. Like, he's declined the invitation almost publicly and said, oh, LeBron's great, but I'm fine where I am. I love the Golden State Warriors. I love this organization. I want to play here. I want to retire. He goes into it. So it's weird that LeBron is kind of secretly trying to recruit him. He's like, nah, I don't want to play with LeBron.
Yeah, that's good. The whole thing, too. I'm like, come on, man. Let that man be, dog.
I think it's a great compliment, though, that LeBron's 100. Like, no, it's him, because I think he's all the things that we're talking about. He's like, no, that guy is he's one of the greatest freaks in NBA history.
And I'll give him credit too, because even in the last round, he was still playing a lot as a bulk shooter. And in this round, because they've started to double him more and everything else, he basically transitioned back to what he was doing earlier in his career and not being as much of a bulk shooter and going, well, I'm going to put up 45 because I don't have anybody else on my team because everybody's hurt. And so I'm just going to put up 45. But it's going to take a lot of shots to do that because I'm going to miss a lot of threes. And he started to come back down and then in the fourth quarter become more of the scorer again. But in the rest of the game, he's not taking shots unless he's necessarily open or got a layup.
Yeah, that's one of those all-time greats who can turn it on, can really flip the switch. All right, do I need to take over? Okay, I can take over.
Yeah.
I got this. Yeah, and everybody doesn't really have that. All right, we'll preview the Heat and the Celtics matchup coming up a little bit later on in the show, in the 5 o'clock. We'll break that down. But since we got my man Harge here, let's talk some Texas baseball. Had a sweep, broke out the brooms versus the Kansas Jayhawks, all right? So now we'll talk about their seeding in the Big 12 tournament. Is there still hope? Are you keeping hope alive still end up hosting in the postseason? And being, we'll get into that, too. We'll get into that and talk
about it. I'm sipping that Kool-Aid.
We're from Harge. We've got to talk to Harbaugh about it, and we'll get into some Texas baseball. Baseball discussion on the other side. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a blue Monday right here on 104.9 The Horn. Playing some blues for you. My man Patrick doing a great job. Always DJing a blue Monday. You can be a part of the show, 512-337-3776. That is the number to the Specs text line. You also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Hardball Harge at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. And Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. The Longhorns broke out the brooms against the Kansas Jayhawks. That's a good thing and hard. So there is a path potentially to Texas hosting, but if all works out, is that true?
Is a chance.
Really?
Like Craig White told us. Like Craig told
How
us
slim is this chance?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it minuscule? How slim is this chance?
It might be an eyelash, but, you still got eyelash.
I like
right
that.
Now,
I like that. An eyelash. There you go.
I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah. But I've seen crazier things happen. If Texas can go up to Arlington and win the Big 12 tournament, then yeah, that puts them in the conversation for sure to be able to host a regional. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, obviously, with the Big 12 and all the teams that are involved there. We talked about TCU being the number one seed and winning the Big 12 with Texas Tech finishing second and then Oklahoma finishing third, Oklahoma State fourth, and Texas fifth, followed by, West Virginia sixth, K-State seventh, and Baylor eighth. And during the week when Texas swept Kansas, that pretty much eliminated Kansas from even being in. Kansas needed to sweep Texas for them to even get into the Big 12 tournament. But, you know, nine teams in the Big 12. I don't know how we're the Big 12, but nine teams in the Big 12 for baseball. And so you
Who
just kind of
play Iowa State?
Iowa State doesn't play. So then you sit and you look and say, okay, what's the road to the championship? Where does it go? Well, they start at 9 a.m. on ESPNU, but you can hear it right here with our man Craig Way.
Shout out.
On 104.9 at 8:45 on Wednesday morning for a pregame. But as you look at this and you say, okay, Oklahoma State, we saw what Oklahoma State did the last time they played Texas they came here. It was not a good weekend for the Texas Longhorns.
Nope.
But now we're at a different point in the season. Pitching, it's one game at a time. And for Texas, if they can win game one, they'll play at 4 o'clock that next Thursday. But you look at the winners and how it goes about. They're going to play the winner of the Baylor and TCU game. They had a great series against Texas. I mean, against TCU.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great series against Baylor. Baylor was battling with them, but they had a great series with them. So you think your chances get a little bit easier. And the one thing that – not easier, but you know those teams – but the other part of it is when I start looking at this bracket and how it's all set up, there's two separate sides to this bracket where you win that bracket and then everything happens in the right direction for you. So that's good. But for me, if Texas could get to that 40, 41, 42 win mark, then that puts a little bit of pressure on the committee and saying, okay, because a lot of people keep wanting to look at it as home field advantage or whatever. Yeah. It's also where can you can get enough teams in where it's going to be worth it for the NCAA. They want to send teams where they can make money.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me, and that's how the NCAA is working. And if you're putting your bid in to be able to host a regional, because I still believe Texas State should have an opportunity to host a regional, regardless of that situation.
I've seen some projections, but not every projection has them hosting. And but some do.
Some do. And the other part of it is that's a hop, skip, and a jump from Austin. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's going to be that far from them. So if Texas doesn't host, why not take a look? I hope the committee does take a look at this. And Kendall Rogers, who I follow up real closely with D1 Baseball, and that's the site that I go to for a lot of information as far as projections and RPIs, because they do all the work for that. And you just got to go in and try to figure out how the numbers work, and then you go from there. But when I look at what they're saying, they also believe what Texas State has done has warranted them that opportunity. They have a beautiful facility. And you got to also think this. When Texas is here and Texas is the team that gets to host it and they're deep into it and they're hosting the regional, obviously you're going to have a lot of Texas fans that are there. Yeah. But you're going to have just as many at Texas State.
Oh, no, they're loyal.
They will pack that place. Right now, this is probably the best program that they've had ever.
And they'll promote the hell out of it.
And they will definitely be there. So, you know, I just hope that everybody looks at it, because it also goes, okay, I just won our division. I just won our conference tournament. There's so many things that go into it, but all of it comes down to financial. Who's going to get the most bang for the buck? And I still believe that Texas State and Texas, if Texas can go up there and win three games, I think they get into the discussion. But if Texas goes up there and two and Q, if they win the whole thing, that's for sure.
Okay.
But if they go up there 2-Q, well, just go on head down to College Station right now. That eyelash, you know how they try to
make a wish.
They go make a wish.
Make a wish.
He gone.
No, that's okay. That's a nice breakdown. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this. So against Oklahoma State a four seed, you said?
Say that one more time, I'm sorry.
Against Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's a four seed, right?
Yeah, they're a four seed.
They're a four seed. And the record this year for Texas and Oklahoma State was what?
They're just one a game away from each other. But playing each other?
Wait, I'm talking about each
two
other.
Two out of
against
three.
Against each other.
Two out of three. They beat them two out of three.
Okay.
Yeah, Oklahoma State did.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was the series where Texas just needed to win one of those games, win the series, and then it flips. But they still would have ended up playing each other anyway. So it wouldn't have made that big of a difference. So we'll see.
Well, baseball that early in the morning was last. My man CB says nothing like 7 a.m. baseball. CB's way on the West Coast in Washington.
That's right. Yeah.
But what? When's the last time they played an early game like that?
Oh, it's been a long time.
That's kind of weird too, man. That's kind of funky.
Yeah. Well, right? That's how they try to get all these games in, and it's a new spot too. 9 a.m. is a really tough.
It's a weird, funky time for a baseball player to play.
But for sure. I think the last time they did that, high school tournament or something.
Yeah, any sport.
Like
sorry, baseball. Any sport. Hell, 9 a.m. for any sport. Yeah, marathon runner. Yeah,
terrible time. So,
that concerns me a little bit as a Longhorn baseball fan. But man, can we just talk briefly about Ivan Melendez?
Can we please?
Okay.
Can we please?
I know. It's fun talking about Ivan Melendez.
You know what I'm talking about.
You're like, can we talk about Ivan Melendez?
Just a
please?
Little bit.
Yeah. Talking about the team can be a little stressful, but talking about Ivan Melendez is a joy because he just keeps bringing the joy to Longhorn fans. He tied the all-time home run record for a player at the University of Texas with 28, tied Kyle Russell. And now he has a chance to break that record because in baseball, the postseason is just part of the season, right?
Yep.
So it's just part of the season. So it's going to be interesting because I believe Kyle Russell, I heard on Light the Tower, shout out, those guys do a great job from 10 to noon right here on 104.9 The Horn, Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop, J.J. Dunn. I believe I heard on Light the Tower that Kyle Russell set the record in the postseason.
He did. His first game after the regular season is when he hit his home run. And look, I was there Thursday when Ivan hit the ball to straightaway center field, carried. It wasn't one of his rocket shots that he hit to tie the record the very next game where he just absolutely blasted the ball over the street. But it was one of those balls that you just thought about and said, man, this dude is just strong. He's in that realm, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, So you're looking at him and you're saying, all right, what's going to be special for him, getting this record or being able to go and become that Golden Spikes winner? And everybody started sending stuff to Golden Spikes. And you're right. Oklahoma State did sweep Texas. They needed to win that one game against Texas needed one win to keep it that balance. So Oklahoma State did sweep Texas here. But when you look at what Ivan Melendez was able to do this year and how he went about his business, and I told you this during that Hard Knocks Life, I did that one day, but then I also told you this off record. It is so important to see the maturity of Ivan Melendez and what he did at the plate this season by maturing and taking walks, not chasing pitches out of the zone. He had more walks than strikeouts this year. That's the most impressive thing. And I know Coach Ty Harrington talked about this when he was talking about Barry Bonds and how he's comparing it. Barry Bonds was so selective at the plate that any mistake that you made, he made you pay for it. He didn't chase your pitch. He made you throw him a pitch where you thought you were going to be able to sneak one in there. It is so impressive. And the other part that would impress me the most was his question mark was defense. He played some great defense this year at first base. So for me, he is the Golden Spikes winner. I know that a lot of people are pushing for that because he definitely is going to be in contention for a triple crown for the nation. Because he's leading the nation in hitting, he's leading the nation in home runs, and he's right there in RBI. So he's got a chance to put unbelievable record numbers up that we've already seen right now with him and what he's doing right now.
Another shout out to Light the Tower. I was listening to Jeff Howe on Light the Tower give freaky Ivan Melendez stats because they are getting to the point where they're freaky. So these are all courtesy of my man Jeff Howe over at Horns 24/7 and Light the Tower 10 to noon right here on 104.9 The Horn. He says Ivan Melendez 28 home runs now is more than the 2014 Texas baseball team.
Yeah,
combined.
Right,
and that was a good team.
And that was a solid team. Yeah. Yeah. You sit there and you're looking at the team and you're like, wait a minute, hold up. He's doing big numbers like that?
How about this? This is actually, I think, even freakier, Ivan Melendez, that take away Ivan Melendez 28 home runs and this Texas baseball team still breaks the all-time home run record.
Yes. 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 That's what I was saying. Murph Staley.
That is freaky, man.
Murph Staley behind Ivan Melendez, protecting Ivan Melendez, is making it to where they pitch to him, and then he comes right behind him and hits the ball out of the park. You look at what Trey Faltini's done this year. He's got a bunch of home runs. You look at Messenger. He's got home runs. This is a fun baseball team to watch, and that's why you see people all over the internet, and this is not just drinking the Kool-Aid. This is the simple fact. There's not that many teams that are that much better than the University of Texas. If they get their pitching figured out, the bullpen, and what have I been talking about all year, Rob? They can get that bullpen. The starters have been doing their job. We can't say enough glowing things about what Lucas Gordon.
Yeah,
Lucas Gordon. He was the one. He was the one person that everybody was like, oh, what is he going to be able to do? What is he going to be able to do? He came in and handled his own. As a matter of fact, he jumped to the number two now. He jumped to the number two in the rotation. So big kudos to what he was able to do, understanding his role, taking his opportunity, and making the most of it. But if they can get the bullpen figured out, this could be a tough Texas team because they play good defense.
No, they do.
They play really good defense.
Yeah. They're still one of the better defensive teams in the country.
Yeah.
Their ERA, because the Big 12 doesn't have necessarily elite pitching, still, I think the ERA still leads the Big 12.
No doubt.
And we don't talk about the hitting. The hitting is superb. Yeah. I mean, it is, like you said, they're a really fun team
to watch.
They
make you pay.
But I love that stat from my man Jeff Howe that if you you take away Ivan Melendez 28 home runs, this Texas baseball team still sets the all-time home run record.
Yeah.
And I think it's by one or something like that. But that's still, man, that is a freaky, crazy stat. So,
I love it.
You also pointed out that if Ivan Melendez can get to 30, get two more home runs, so he would get to 30 this year. But his career home runs, that he would surpass Brooks Kieschnick.
Yep.
Which is also.
That's a big number, too. I mean, think about it. That's a number. That's a name on the wall.
That's a name on the wall.
Yeah.
That's a freaky stuff. So shout out to my man Jeff Howe with them freaky Ivan Melendez stats. I'm sure there'll be more freaky. Are we all hoping there'll be more freaky Ivan Melendez stats to come? Because man, great for that young man. What is his draft projection?
I'm gonna tell you right now, I've talked to multiple scouts and multiple people that are connected to the draft, and he's made himself a ton of money. Let's not forget, last year he was drafted in the 16th round, decided to come back. felt like he deserved another opportunity. They said he needed to learn how to play first. He did that.
Yeah.
So I think this young man has earned himself quite a big payday. So I'm projecting third through fifth round. I would say that he would go in the top three to fifth, to fifth round. Think about the jump he made, too, because there's only 20 rounds in the draft, too.
Yeah.
So
what was he projected last year? What did he
He wasn't even projected. He was a 16th round pick last year.
Yeah, 16th pick.
Okay. The Marlins missed out on him. They should have came with a little bit more money. Now he's going to get some more money.
Mm-hmm. More money.
No doubt.
I said, Light the Tower, you do a great job on there, especially breaking down Texas baseball. The team hitting a batting average is hovering around 321. Which is, it's even, I think, hovering around there in Big 12 play, too. But that would be the best since 1975. If they end up there.
No doubt.
Their slugging percentage is also right now on a record pace. I mean, this offense is not the issue for Texas baseball. Right now, I mean, they could slug it out with anybody in the country. At least they've slugged it out as well as any Texas baseball team probably in the history of the program. We're talking about that Blue Blood program.
They're hitting 324 for conference play and 322 for regular season play.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is
– The record is 325.
This is not a normal year. This is not when people think of Texas baseball, you're normally thinking of great pitching, big arms, fireballers, and good defense, and then you got some guys that can hit.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking these guys are banging the ball all over the place. They're playing great defense, and they got some pitchers on the squad.
What's the slugging percentage right now?
Their slugging percentage as for the season is .632. No, that's just for conference. For conference, it's .632.
That's
for the
crazy
season,
too.
It's .572.
The record is .508.
Oh, they're way past that. past that.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
and
wild.
Like I said, when you start looking at the home runs, 28, 16 for Merce Staley, 10 for Skylar Messenger, 10 for Silas Ardoin, who's the catcher, who's made himself some money as well.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Trey Faltini with 14.
Okay, so we talked about, but we didn't even talk about the freaky, crazy stuff that happened outside of the Kansas series.
Exactly.
The LHN truck caught on fire.
Caught on fire. Everybody supposedly is safe.
Everybody was safe and good, but it shut down the broadcast. Yeah. So Longhorn fans were upset they went to the spring game, but you shouldn't be upset because it's not their fault the truck caught on fire.
Well, the funny thing about it was, because I was doing the MEAC championships this weekend, but I had my computer on LHN. So I was watching the game while I was doing the game, and I looked back, and I was like, why are we watching football? So I had no idea. So I went to Twitter, and I found out that the LHN truck caught on fire, and they had to shut it down and switch the
game.
They
were done.
And people were like, wait a minute. And I thought I missed part of the game. I thought, I was like, wait a minute, I didn't even know what it was in. And then I look up.
I think they finished it on Instagram or something like that. I have no idea. But that's,
kudos to them for being able to flip the script and being able to go live.
That's crazy.
So people can, if through following LHN, you were able to still see it. That's good work by those guys.
But I think the replay was the real issue because I believe their broadcast feed is what the refs use for replay.
Yeah.
So I think based on what my man Jeff Howe and Craig Way were saying on Light the Tower, that was the big conundrum there. Also, the umpire.
Yeah.
Who was his name? John Wolf was his name?
He was having a tough day, too.
Yeah, he ended up having heat exhaustion I don't know if it's a heat stroke, but it was a heat exhaustion, which could lead to heat stroke. And he had to leave in the fifth inning. Yep. He essentially said he couldn't see.
The umpire behind the plate couldn't see. That wasn't balls and strikes. And he was like, come on, man.
That is pretty wild. I mean, I'm glad he's okay. He's fine. But that is crazy. It's like he couldn't see. He just admitted basically that, no, he couldn't see.
I can't see, man.
Getting ready to pass out there. They had to get a new umpire in there. Yeah. Crazy stuff happening. All right.
Before we go, shout out to the women's softball team. They have now advanced to the Super Regional. They will take on Arkansas. They played unbelievable on the road. Did some great things up in Seattle, Washington, beating the host team, Washington, and being able now they will go to the Super Regional where they will take on Arkansas. It will be in Fayetteville. They start this Thursday, 6 p.m. on ESPN2.
and right. broadcasting on 105.3 The Bat, 5:45 Boom. Pregame.
Boom, there you go.
I'm my man Patrick, always keeping us on track.
The Bat?
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the Flex segment. We'll talk about the 7-on-7 tournament at Lake Travis, the teams that advanced. We'll talk about some of the prospects we saw. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a Blue Monday edition of Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. You can always be a part of it. Hit us up on the Specs text line 512-337-3776. It is the Flex segment. Just a quick review of the 7-on-7 tournament there at Lake Travis. Westwood and Lake Travis did advance in the next round. Westwood actually had a huge upset over Westlake in the first game they played in the 7-on-7 tournament, and that was big. I got to give Westwood some props. I don't think anybody saw Westwood coming out there being able to win the whole damn thing, but they had a nice squad and pulled the upset, like I said, over Westlake early on. Did get a chance to watch a lot of the prospects that will be on our watch list for the All Flex team, by the way, go to FLXATX.com. You can go check out all the great coverage there by the Flex team. Of course, Snoop, J.J. Dunn doing a great job, but Zach was out there doing a great job. Man, Derek was out there doing a great job at the 7-on-7 tournament, so I want to give all of them some props too. But got a chance to watch a lot of the prospects, a lot of the guys who are going to be on those Lexus. I got to tell you, man, it's really entertaining to watch 7-on-7 because it's so fast-paced.
Oh, it's so quick.
It's so quick, yeah. And they get it in so fast. You really don't have a chance to get bored or to get distracted.
Right.
So I know it. I mean, we stayed out there probably from 8. I think first game was at 8:30. Last, and they didn't play the actual championship game because Lake Travis and Westwood would have advanced anyway. Both of those teams would have advanced,
right?
So they didn't play. They didn't face off.
And I believe Travis played their spring game the night before. So they played their spring game. Yeah, they played their spring game the night before.
Okay, yeah. No, Lake Travis looked good, man. I believe, who's the quarterback? Bo Edmondson?
Yep.
I believe it's his name. Gets the ball out quick. I mean, Lake Travis.
The university?
Yeah, exactly. they got a factory going on. So, they looked really well. Looked good. I do like one of their defensive backs, too. I think Josiah Estes is his name.
Yep,
good player. You said you got kinfolk.
Yeah, my cousin Nico Hamilton is the running back for Lake Travis. He's getting a lot of props right now. A lot of people are looking at him. They're expecting a big year for him at the running back position.
Yeah, no shock that Lake Travis got some good athletes. And I went out there watching, and there are people in the stands, right? There are families, fathers, whatever. And they're screaming and yelling. Like they're yelling at the referees, and they're yelling coverages and yelling at their kids.
Welcome to U Sports, Rod.
Right? So I'm just sitting up there. I'm just consuming. I'm like, man, it's a lot of yelling and screaming going on. And just somebody yelled out, "Ball don't lie." I wasn't sure if they were yelling it out to the people on the field or yelling it to me. So if you did and you were like, "Hey, Robbie, I yelled ball don't lie." I didn't know. I'm not egotistical enough to think, like,
that's a fan.
Oh, I know. But ball don't lie is something that's been yelled out on playgrounds and competitive environments for decades.
Yeah.
So I apologize if somebody was like yelling ball don't lie, like, "Hey, what's up?" And I didn't say anything. Because I hear somebody go, "Ball don't lie." And I was looking at the field, and like 30 seconds later it registered. I was like, "Oh, that's the name of the show. I wonder if they were talking to me." No, that's probably just yelling out. Because they were yelling stuff. They were yelling at the ref.
Oh,
they were like, "Ref, you need to learn how to call the game. Ref, man, that clock, that's 4 seconds. Ref." They were yelling the whole time. So I was just like, they just yelling.
I can't wait for you to have kids,
man.
So you can see it.
I did not know
personal.
It was like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And the ref was yell back sometimes. He turned around and yell at them. I'm like, what is this? This is the way it goes down all the time. So it's a really competitive environment. I had a good time, though. I mean, I just watched. I stayed out there the whole time. I thought I'd stay just for a couple of games. Stayed the whole time. Had a great time.
Because the energy's different. It's so fast, and there's a lot going on, too.
It's great to watch the prospects because they talk trash.
Yep.
It's a lot of trash talk.
Oh, yeah.
Guys get beat. So I want to see them recover. I watched a lot of DBs get beat. I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this DB and see if he comes back to make a play.
Yep.
That's what I love about Josiah Estes. Came back, made some plays, was a good player. I like the Bowie quarterback, too. I don't know his name, but he's good-looking.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking athlete.
They got a lot of those
prospects.
There's some good prospects in this area.
Yeah.
That's why I continue to say that college coaches, they come here because there are a lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of running backs. There's an offensive lineman.
Skill positions.
Yeah, and the skill positions are always the ones that are getting a lot of love. So I was glad you guys got out there and got a chance to see it. Saw the picture of you, Chad, and E. Hogan out there.
Yeah.
So that was good that y'all are representing and got a chance. Man. I would have been out there, too. If I wasn't working this weekend, I would have been working weekend.
Using the booth, using the lab, doing it, too.
I would have been right there with y'all.
Shout out to it's a Dripping Springs quarterback, I believe. His name's Austin Novoside. If I'm screwed up his name, I apologize. But he looks nice, too. He's got a real good process. Like, his rhythm is really good.
I think he just got offered by Stanford this past weekend, too.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, I saw a post happen, so I think he got offered this weekend.
Now, some real good players. So that was fun. That's going to be another one coming up, too. And we'll talk about that later on this week. If you want to go out there, I think you can just go out there if you want to.
Quarterback is Connor Kenyon from Bowie.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah,
Connor Kenyon. He's a good-looking player.
Yeah.
He was. I like him. I mean, I hate saying it. I feel creepy. But
you're also scouting, so you could be creepy.
I know. He's a good looking athlete. You just gotta start stalking good looking athletes. He's like, man, he's a good looking athlete. And you gotta look at him like, man, he's tall. And you feel like, ooh, he's got broad shoulders. And I feel creepy, but he's like, this is a data point. I'm scouting here. So
you're scouting, that's right.
No, man. He's a good looking player too. So all right, we'll come back. We'll get into some college football discussion. College football's top 25 quarterbacks. Arch Manning setting his dates for his official visits, 24/7 sports. Listen to Longhorns on their top 100 list of freshmen most likely to make an impact, and there's a Texas win total out there that we got to discuss, so we got a lot to cram into the next segment. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.